Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Hello, once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it is March the 11th, Monday. So yesterday, big day at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and today starts the new week for the next stop on the tour, which just happens to be Frank Bassett's favorite event, the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass, where he is standing by to join us and let us know what it's like there. By the way, at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Francesco Molinari had to stand by for about 3 hours after he finished early with a 64. And he tipped the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Very, very nice trophy to have. Also, $1.6 million in the bank and 500 FedEx Cup points as well. So Molinari, well worth the wait for him to stick around and wait on it. Rory McIlroy had a chance in the final group with Matthew Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick was only one under for the day, and Rory shot an even par 72. He finishes at four shots behind Molinari. So a good day for Francesco Molinari at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Frank, the Players' Championship focus for everybody this week, the fifth major. Everybody's called that for a long, long time. But the big change is, we're talking about it, March 11th. They've moved the date up for the first time in eons, and now it's back to where it originally was this time of the year. And weather had always been a bit of a factor this time of the year in the Jacksonville area. What's the weather going to be like this year? Is it going to be a significant difference? And what are the grounds going to be like compared to how it was when they normally would play it a few months later?
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you? I'm good. It's good to be back home, you know. I miss this place so much. I love it here. I was here for the first TPC, as it was called in those days, when it went across the street from Sawgrass Country Club to the TPC Sawgrass course. I was here for the first Players' Championship when it changed from March to May. I'm here now for the first Players' Championship going back to the March start, which is how this course is supposed to be played. In March, the overseeding, the thick, deep, lush green colors, it's going to be beautiful on TV. The north wind, this course was designed by Pete Dye to be played in March in North Florida, and it's back where it belongs. And I think some of the younger players are going to find out this year and that it's going to play just a little bit differently. The gnarly Bermuda rough is no longer there. It's going to be thick, long, lush, and when the ball goes into the rough, it drops to the bottom of 4 inches. It looks pretty brutal out there. But to answer your question, after all that dissertation, the weather's beautiful. It's like 84 degrees yesterday, 84 degrees today, just like March basically here, except a little bit of wind, not much, coming out of the north. Man, it's so good to be here. Marriott Sawgrass, thank you so much, as our host every year for the first part of the week during the Players' Championship. And we're here in the lobby right outside of Starbucks. So the players are coming through. First person I ran into this morning was Brant Snedeker, my hometown boy from Nashville, Tennessee. And then, of course, two-time winner of the Players' Championship standing across from us, Mr. Steve Elkington. He won this thing a couple of times, both times in March, by the way. And he has some opinions. He'll join us tomorrow after he walks the course today and give us his insights into what it's like this year, compare it to his two wins, and we'll see where it goes. But guess who's sitting next to me?
I couldn't even venture a guess.
Oh, come on. You know. You know who it is. You talked to her earlier.
Is this when I'm supposed to say something?
No, not yet.
I'm leaving the drama up to you.
No, what drama? Diane Knox from Secret Golf. Diane, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Yeah, it's always good to see you.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm going. Oh, she's got a clear throat. Okay. Diane had a hard night last night. She went out with friends.
Can I just say, that's not the case. Well, that is the case, but never mind.
Okay.
You can say it.
I've had a throat issue for a while. So. But anyway, we're good. I'm very happy to be here. It's my favorite week of the year. Great to see you again. Great to be doing Golf Talk America and, of course, back in the Sawgrass Marriott.
Sawgrass Marriott's the best, isn't it? It's great. That's we fun. Have our rooms here are fabulous, as always. Todd Hickey, who's the general manager here at Sawgrass Marriott, treats us so well. I mean, the basket of goodies that was in my room when I got there was just awesome. And, you know, the service last night, they drive us everywhere. It's great to be home, buddy.
What?
I'll tell you.
You get a basket and you get driven around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got driven around.
See, Frank,
wow.
You shouldn't throw that out there. I was going to say, everybody may not be getting the basket. Like,
yeah, you're
you.
Living the dream.
Well, okay, so I have a handle in the room, too, but we won't go there.
No.
Well,
they
on
didn't.
Your,
they
on
didn't
your
supply.
Door?
They, no, no, no. I have a handle, but it's on a green box.
She has a handle.
It starts with a G, and you know what that is. So, anyway, no, it's great to be here, buddy. I wish you could be here with us. Secret Golf's going to be here. The Secret Golfers are all going to be coming by and saying hello and doing interviews all week. It's just, this is it, man.
Nice.
For me, this
nice.
Is it. Now, I have to tell you, and let's back up for just a minute. Thank you to Omni Tucson National Resort. Those guys were so good to us, Tim, out there. Danny Medina, Jeff White, the Sandy Shipman, Mike Petty, the whole crew out there at Omni Tucson National Resort. What a fun tournament it was this year. Thought Stricker might be able to do it again, but fell a little bit short and couldn't do it. But got to spend the night, by the way, in the Denver airport on my way back. A little flight issue with Aurora Airlines. I won't say who it is. And not Southwest, though. But it was a long haul to get home, to get down here during Bay Hill, to get up here to Sawgrass. And but we're here, and I'm ready for this tournament to start, and it's only Monday.
Well, speaking of the PGA Tour champions, as a matter of fact, Kirk Triplett, congratulations to him. He went into extra holes to beat Woody Austin. They were playing at Newport Beach at the Hogue Classic in Newport Beach. And so Triplett wins that, so championship for him. Picks up $270,000 in a very nice tournament. We love the people on the PGA Tour champions. They're always so nice to us, as you were talking
the
about, the conquistadors, the volunteers that are around the tournaments, as well as the players and the PR people and everything else. So, yeah, you had a great time there, and just wanted to acknowledge that Kirk won another title on the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
So good for him. Very cool.
Yeah, it was a cool playoff. Woody Austin, Aquaman, as we know him. Yeah, it was a good playoff. What about the API, buddy? What about the Arnold Palmer Invitational?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. A lot of, not controversy, but talk about that. If you watched it, you saw that Molinari, as I said earlier, finished very, very early on and had to wait around 2 or 3 hours for everybody else to finish after he shot a 64. He had a 45-foot birdie putt on the 18th hole that hit the flag stick, which you're now allowed to leave in, and made some people go, oh, if the flag stick wasn't in, would it have saved? So we all know that that's always going to stir the pot of controversy now that the rules have changed and what that may or may not mean. But the rule is keep it in. He kept it in. It used it as a nice backstop, and he nailed the birdie putt. And Molinari, by the way, if you look at it, Frank, that leaderboard was filled with European Ryder Cup players.
Yes,
and
it was.
So that was another note that a lot of people are like, where are the Americans in this field if you want to stir the pot a little bit more? Because it was Tommy Fleetwood, Cabrera Bello. It was a lot of Rory, as I said before, a lot of foreign guys, and not a lot of Americans up on that leaderboard.
Yeah, I know. I can't stand that. Can you? What about? How do you feel about that, Diane?
Well, to be honest, of course I'm happy about that, and I think it speaks volumes when, especially when you look at the Ryder Cup from last year with Molinari winning, obviously, and then Tommy Fleetwood, his dream team pairing, T3.
Mollywood is what they called that.
Exactly.
Mollywood, yeah.
But I was really happy, especially for Matthew Fitzpatrick, Matt Wallace, seeing them right up there, and Fitzpatrick finishing just two behind Molinari.
That I got to tell you, it was pretty exciting. But you had in pre-show a great stat that you brought up about Rory McIlroy, Tim.
Yeah, that is that he's now played in 6 straight final groupings tournaments that he's played in. He hasn't played in the last 6 tournaments, but I'm saying of the last 6 that he's been in the final group, he has yet to win. So
that's unbelievable.
I don't know what's going on. You would think out of that many, he's not going to win them all. But you would think if you give him 6 chances in a final group, meaning he's either in the lead or right there, he's going to win something, and he hasn't been able to put it away. Again, I mentioned that he only shot even par yesterday, while Molinari shoots 64. He goes 8 under on the round. But Cabrera Bell, 69. Fleetwood, Sung Ji Im shot 68. Sung Kang shot 68. So there were low numbers to be had. And if Rory would have shot even a 68, again, he lost by 4 shots. He would have been tied for the lead, a playoff. Who knows? He only needed a 68. So I don't know. A bit disturbing, Diane. He's one of the certainly the stars of the European Ryder Cup and European world of golf, if you will. But it just seems like he's a bit stuck playing well enough to finish in top tens. But kind of like Jordan Spieth, they're just not able to get the victories like we had expected them to in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, well, and think back as well with him being defending champion at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And to win that last year, beating Bryson DeChambeau by 3 shots, I think he had like 4 birdies in his last 5 holes on the Sunday. So it's almost, for me, it's funny because I had to do a radio interview in the UK yesterday, just when he teed off. And I said, oh, this is it. He's going to be so hard to beat. Like, Rory's the guy. Especially if you think back to what he did in 2018, that mental memory is going to come through. He's had 5 top 10 finishes this season so far. If you look at the WGC in Mexico just a few weeks ago, 2nd, T4 at the Genesis Open, the Century Tournament of Champions at the beginning of the year, T4. So it's there. It's weird one. I don't know. And especially because he's been putting so well. Like, that was the thing at Bay Hill. You know, we all know Rory off the tee can bomb it a mile.
Oh my God.
Long iron play, amazing. And his putting was standout for the first, 3 rounds, I guess, especially the 3rd round when he shot that 6 under. But, you know, I don't know.
He hasn't been able to close it.
And if you
maybe he's better off if he's 4 or 5 back,
like he was last year, going into
the final round, you know, instead of being in the lead.
Yeah, just put the pedal down and go.
And I think back to the Masters last year, final round, he shot that 2 over.
Yeah.
And
well, what about the Tour Championship last year?
Exactly.
Of course, he was playing with this guy who won it. That big crowds.
Yeah.
Big crowds around him.
He got lost in the crowd.
You know, I have to say this, literally. And this is a little off the subject we're on, but Rory had an interview after the Tour Championship last year where he said, I now understand the Tiger effect. A lot of the young players haven't seen that, and they saw it last year. Tiger's going to be here this week. Hopefully he won't withdraw. Hopefully his neck's better. And he's certainly the biggest draw in all of golf. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I want to see McIlroy's just got such a perfect – look at all those foot joys going by here. McIlroy has such a perfect swing. I saw some great new shoes coming through here. Hold on.
Diane, he's like a dog that he's got it. Your attention for about 3 seconds,
honestly,
and a squirrel runs up a tree, and Frank goes, squirrel,
squirrel,
squirrel.
Do you know what it is? It's if you
turkey
get anything
vulture.
For free. He just wants anything for free.
Oh, stop
so
it.
The box is going past with all the logos.
You don't
logos.
Need to know
You're
much
like,
about
oh.
Frank.
Listen, obviously, you haven't seen my American Express bill. There's not a lot free these days. Turkey vulture. By the way, turkey vulture. Never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, it's going to be an exciting week. Diane, your brother's playing this week, right?
He is indeed. The thing about Russell, past 2 years, he's missed the cut here. It's his home tournament. He lives like literally 2 minutes from TPC Sawgrass. And Russell's always said, I don't get it. It's a course that I should do so well on because narrow fairways, Russell's very accurate off the tee. But he said, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for the Players' Championship to be in March. And he's so excited about it. Just because the wind is different. Growing up in Scotland, Russell was used to
playing in the wind.
You know, he has a low ball flight. He's really excited. And I know that he's been playing the course a lot. The weather has been funny here, though, the past few weeks. I live in Jacksonville.
It's like summer here.
Yeah, but last Monday, it was like 51.
Oh, 51?
It was freezing. I was out. Actually, driving to work, it was 34 when I was driving to work last Monday. And then looking today, it's going to be like 79.
85 or something. No, it's going to be up in the 80s, I think, today.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
I dressed
so that's what that's what I was saying about the course. They set the course up based on the cold weather, of course, and the ability to do what they've done with the rough and the overseeding and the rye and all that. So, again, for our listeners, I'd record this tournament because on TV because it's going to be visually as pretty as you've seen it in the past 10 years. It's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah, it's green. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
right
it's gorgeous.
So Frank, I want to ask you a question then about that. You're talking about the weather. Just like if you're talking about a British Open, that's seaside, and the weather is always a factor unless it's not kicking up and it's not raining sideways and it's not, and it calms down everybody and suddenly you get a lot of low scores. Will you expect that same thing at the Players? Will there be a lot of mid-60s, even low 60s, if the weather isn't adversarial?
I don't think so, only because of the course setup itself. Go back to that picture. Diane's going through her Twitter here, all her followers.
Squirrel.
The squirrel. The course setup, though, I mean, the rough's going to be thick and deep, and it's not going to be gnarly, so the ball's not going to set up in the rough. If you're lucky, it's going straight to the bottom. So this course is going it's going to play tough. And, and the course, that you know, they have sub-air through this entire golf course. So they can make it as difficult as they so desire.
And the person that you need to talk to about the rough is tomorrow. Speak to Elk about that, because he loves his agronomy and his grass.
Oh, he does.
And Steve and I are going to go out and walk the course today.
Yeah.
So we're going to go and check it out
firsthand. Do I get to tag along with y'all?
I mean, if you want to, of course you can.
I might go walk about three holes.
Work to do, But we're going to go and have a look at it firsthand just to see what it's actually like. I've never seen it this time of year before.
Oh, you haven't?
Never.
Have you been on it this week at all or last week?
No, nope, not yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to go out after this.
It's a treat.
Have a walk around.
I want to back up to one thing you said, Diane. You said Russell is a low ball hitter and always had. He had to, I guess, by virtue of the fact that he grew up in Scotland. Mm-hmm. So how do you hit a low ball? How can, because my, with a 9.5 degree driver, I can make that thing loop, Tim. And you know, you've seen me.
Yeah,
I need to get my ball flight down, and probably I should ask Elkington about that. He can fix it in 2 minutes. Go to the secretgolf.com website, and I can plug in, how to hit a low ball, low driver, and boom, it'll teach me right there from the tour.
Actually tell you where to go, because it's one of our instructional videos that stands out, and it's Ryan Palmer, and he does an instruction on his, I think it's his 5-wood.
Mm-hmm.
Or his 3-wood, but he plays his knockdown shot, and that's one of my favorite videos to go and watch.
See, right there, Secret Golf's already fixing my game.
Already?
And you know I am like the champion golfer of the year, right? Have I mentioned that before on the show?
You know,
he's asking you, Diane.
It was crickets. We didn't even entertain that.
Crickets. Everybody's like, okay, Frank, shut up about your damn trophy. Okay, thanks, guys. Really appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, Frank, there's a new trophy, speaking of trophies. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have, and it's gorgeous.
Debuting a new trophy that's very, very pretty gold trophy.
Yes, it is. I was never a fan of the Waterford Crystal Trophy. It just seemed a little just okay for the status of this golf tournament. I mean, it's not the fifth major. They don't like to call it the fifth major. It is the Players' Championship. Right. It stands on its own based on the fact of strength of field in this tournament. It is the Players' Championship.
Do you know what I love about the new trophy, though? Because they have, it's like a figure, a golfer, standing on the 17th green on the trophy.
Do we know who they patterned that trophy after?
Well, this is what I'm about to say. This is a great story. So what they did is they took all the past winners and fed their profile shots, their photo of their face, into a computer. And the computer basically mashed them all up and came up with a face that was a combination of all the past champions.
You're making that
up. I promise you it's true. George, I watched a documentary online about it.
So it's George Clooney with Johnny Miller's swing, right? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. I think that is amazing that they just pumped that all into a computer and the computer generated this face.
You know, that's the way to do it without offending anybody, right? You're
exactly.
Like, okay, if we would have used Elkington as the model, then everybody else would be like, well, why him? Why did you put him? So
well,
now
he did
everybody
win it
who's
twice,
won,
you know, he did win
say,
this thing twice.
I know. But you won't get any argument because everybody's going to say it's a little bit of me. That's my left ear lobe.
I understand that. Uh-oh. Looks like we had a dropout here.
I'll tell you what.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be joined by John Claffey from Tour Edge. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you in the Dallas studios. Frank Bassett coming to us from the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass, his home away from home. Frank does dearly love going to the Players' Championship. We had a little technical problem before our break, but everything seems to be cleared up. Diane Knox out on the course right now with Steve Elkington. They're taking a look at the grass and everything else. We're going to have both join us tomorrow and tell us about the setup of the golf course and what the grass looks like and the change in the season from May to March and see how that may affect the play this weekend at the Players' Championship. In the meantime, we'd love to welcome John Claffey. He joins us now. He's the Vice President of Sales with Tour Edge, which is, as you know, if you certainly watch PGA Tour Champions, dominating on the PGA Tour Champions, the equipment there. And John, thanks so much for being with us. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
We'll see.
So let me ask you this about Tour Edge and just the competition. I'm always intrigued by golf equipment and equipment companies, and it seems like it's just a fine margin between this club and that club and who picks this and who doesn't and what names you have playing your different clubs. It seems very, very competitive. Is it that competitive, or do you guys all get along, like you and other manufacturers for other kinds of clubs? Is it a friendly rivalry, or is it as intense as I sometimes think it is?
You know, I've been through both cases in my, you know, my 18-year career here in the golf, but, you know, I've always had I started with, you know, a couple companies that were out and play on tour and kind of small guys that would go out there and try to, battle the behemoths. And at a time, it was pretty easy to sneak into the some bags with even, you know, guys that were signed to, you know, the headwear deal, the 10-club deal with the major guys. And then it really tightened up once, you know, they tightened the reins a little bit. And, you know, I was in a complete hybrid war at one point with two companies, and that got ugly. That was, you know, they were hiring away employees and, you know, stealing players and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I've seen it all. Right now, Tour Edge has made our home out on the PGA Tour Champions. That's kind of where we saw our niche being best fulfilled. And we were kind of filling that void that Adams did kind of left when they left the marketplace. And we find it to be competitive. There is a friendly rivalry, but it's not like some of the scratch, the all out, you know, kind of war and cat fighting that I've seen in my history. But it's fun is what it is. And what you got to go out there and do is prove to some of the best players that have ever played the game, you know, the legends of the game. You've got to prove to them that your club is going to make them more money on the golf course. So you got to get out there and set up your track man and really, you know, show them the numbers, all the distance numbers, all the spin numbers, and prove to these guys that, you know, we're the club for your bag. And so the thing about the Champions Tour is that it is pretty wide open as far as there's not a ton of manufacturers setting up week by week. It's pretty much us and Callaway and there's some other manufacturers out there, but they don't really set up on the range. So it's we get a lot of extra clubs in that way, and it led us to having over 60 guys put in Tour Edge last year and this year alone.
Hey, John, it was good to see you in Tucson. I was walking down the cart path, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hey, Frank!" So Claffy gives me a ride, and we talked about some of the Tour Edge sticks. You guys gave me some clubs last year for the Masters that we used as a prop on the set. And Steve Elkington, who's here with us, he's out on the course right now, he just left, but looked at your irons, your blades, and he said, "Man, these things are absolutely beautiful." And I thought that was a pretty good statement about your sticks. He went and swung them, and I said, "Please don't scratch them. They don't belong to me yet." It was good to see you in Tucson, and a lot of the guys have your sticks in their bags. I mean, it's your hybrids especially, and you have some new, like a new 3-wood and a 5-wood that's come out that's supposed to be super hot. I haven't had a chance to hit those yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we've really just had a heck of a go out there. If you can believe this or not, we've in the last 30 events out on the Champions Tour, we have finished first or second 19 out of those last 30 events. So that's over 60% of every event we're either first or second. That is a crazy stat, but it's a little streak that we've got going. We've just kind of been on fire out there, and it helps when you have, you know, Scott McCarron on staff and Tom Lehman on staff and some of the best players in the game. We've also got Duffy Woldorf and Tim Petrovic. Duffy actually put our new EXS driver into play and played really well with it this week and out on tour. So we're kind of using the Champions Tour as a sounding board off for players. The new hybrid and very wood you mentioned is called the CBX 119. And that was really born entirely out of talking to tour players. And we took the original CBX and we said, "What do you like? What don't you like? And what do you need to see?" And we really took notes all year long last year on the tour, and we came back and shaped the new hybrids and fairy woods basically all off of tour player feedback. And so we've got one of the favorite clubs of the tour players because of the way that it looks, the way that it feels. So we're doing quite well. As I mentioned, we've had over 60 guys put our clubs into play, and we've had 8 wins with our CBX clubs over the last year. So it's it's been a really nice place for us to kind of make our tour home. And it isn't as competitive as, you know, saying going up and setting up on the PGA Tour, where, you know, there is going to be a lot more battles for bags. And this is just, you know, kind of, you know, talking to these Champions Tour players who are very down to earth, and they've seen it all. They're very welcoming, and they know that we're out there to try to help with our game. So it's been awesome for us. As far as the irons you mentioned, yeah, we kind of get known to are known for our fairway woods and our hybrids. And David Glott is our founder. He's also our, you know, he's our president and our master club designer. But his iron designs kind of get lost in the mix when people talk about Tour Edge and exotics. And, you know, he really makes some of the most beautiful irons in the business. And we're trying to get enough marketing dollars to make people aware of that.
Well, we'll certainly help you, because I love your product, and you've been very good to us over the years. And we have a lot of fun together. You have a great staff. Your guys out in the field and your tour reps are just, they're like family. It's just good to be around Tour Edge. You've really brought a lot to that company by virtue of you going there. And by the way, I talked to Tommy Lehman a little bit about, he was raving about the product, just raving about the product in Tucson. So,
oh, that's great to hear. Yeah, he's wearing our logo this year, and already has a win with us this year. So it's been a great relationship there.
We're talking with John McClaffey. He's Vice President of Sales with Tour Edge Golf Clubs. And I'm curious, John, you're focusing on PGA Tour champions. You hope that translates into the average golfer as well, not just guys on tour, but average golfers come out and buy your clubs as well and have success. Is that also your club's goal, is to succeed for the senior golfers or for the older golfers? Or are you guys seeing some results from 20- and 30-year-olds as well, not on tour, but just 20- or 30-year-old average golfers playing your clubs?
Oh, sure, yeah. No, these clubs are for any tour player. They are in play on PGA Tour. They are in play on web.com. But they're all, yeah, I mean, the buzz is something where, you know, we're creating that buzz out on the Champions Tour. But, you know, really we just needed any tour to kind of validate and to kind of get these wins going. And so there's plenty of college players out there that are playing Tour Edge. And, yeah, we've got it runs the whole gamut.
Yeah, now you have something that's fairly interesting, a 48-hour policy where the average player, an amateur, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we've really, part of the way that we're buttering our bread over here is getting into that custom fit game. And what we did is kind of, it's with our hot launch product. And that's where we have this 48-hour guarantee that if you go into any of the 500 shops that we have an HL3 fit bag, you get fit for a driver. Once we get the order, we will get it back to that shop or to your house within 48 hours anywhere in the continental U.S. And so we, you know, where other guys are taking 3 weeks, you know, to a month to get their custom fitting orders out, we are getting it in that day, building it that day, and shipping out the next day. And it's something that nobody else has, you know, thought to do, and it really kind of put us in the lead role of custom fitting when it comes to the value segment. And so, you know, HL3 is a really affordable mid-tier price point, but it's got all the bells and whistles technology that anybody would want to see as a budget golfer. And it's got a heck of a performance for the price. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that it can hang with some of these, you know, $400, $500 drivers. And but you're only going to spend $189. You're going to go get custom fit, and you're going to have it within 48 hours. So it's kind of a win-win situation that the consumer hasn't seen offered by anybody else.
Hey, Tim?
Yeah?
You hear that?
Yes, I did.
I knew you'd get excited about that. I'll tell you, their new driver, by the way, is one hot product. It is really, really sweet.
I'm curious, too, John, about the hybrids in particular, and talking about the PGA Tour champions and older golfers, if you will, from 45 up, that play more hybrids and fewer longer irons. That's the trend that's there. Do you see that staying that way as far as the players, and especially older players that need to get the ball some elevation, have a hard time hitting two or three or certainly four or five irons, having more hybrids like yours in their bag?
Yeah, definitely. It's not a trend. That's going to be just the way it is for the foreseeable future. Now, they are kind of, when it comes to different golf courses or different conditions, they are kind of moving in between the hybrid and the ironwood, which is, or the driving iron. We have Tom Lehman this week decided to play two ironwoods instead of playing his hybrid. And next week he'll go back to his hybrid. And and have one of the driving irons in play as well. Tim Petrovic is playing four of our exotics clubs out on tour, and two of them are Ironwoods and two of them are fairway woods, and they all kind of mix and match when it comes to the lofts. And but when you see, when you put everything up on the track, man, you can see he's got a particular use for each club. And so he's hitting his number two Ironwood mostly off the tee. He's hitting it about 270 off the tee.
Sweet.
He said that club's not going anywhere. That's his favorite club in the bag. And then he's got these other, you know, he's got a 3-wood, a 5-wood, and then he's got a number three Ironwood. And he said he's got a use for all three of them, you know, depending on what certain types of shots he wants to hit. So, but as far as, you know, the hybrids and the fact that it's taken over for, you know, 3 and 4 irons, those 3 and 4 irons aren't coming back. Yeah, the hybrids are definitely a lot easier to hit. They're easier to get up in the air, and they're now with the technology today, they're easier to control as well.
I'm interested too. You talked about the Ironwoods, as you call them, driving irons that we've heard a lot about. I've never had one, and I don't think even hit one before. What is the advantage of an Ironwood or driving iron versus hitting a 3-wood or a normal wood club that you would think of, or metal wood from a 4-wood or 5-wood? Why is the driving iron a better choice for a lot of people?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, a lot of people, the number one thing is going to be it's less spin. So when you go to the British Open, you see everybody's had a special driving iron made up for them for that week. You know, so that's number one, is you're going to have less spin that fights the wind. So if you've got windy conditions, you'll see a ton of players moving over to the driving iron versus the hybrid. The hybrid can get a little spinny for guys with faster swing speeds when the wind comes into play. Okay. So that's when they'll move over to the driving iron. It's going to reduce spin by that much, and you're really just going to have rockets that you're hitting, you know, with a boring ball flight into the wind. The other reason why players would gravitate towards an Ironwood rather than a hybrid would be that they just have more of an iron swing naturally, and that they, you know, they don't want to change their swing when they're hitting their wood, and they just want to keep their same iron swing going throughout their game. And so that's another reason that we've heard.
I want to hit bullets, Frank.
I know you do. let me tell you something.
I want a boring shot.
I used, playing in the Golf Writers Association of America tournament at Hammock Beach, you know I'm going to bring it up again. A few weeks ago, January, whatever, I used my 3 Ironwood the entire round. I did not pull the driver. The wind was howling on that oceanfront golf course. I used my 3 Ironwood and hit a lot of knockdown eights around the
greens. How'd you play?
I played pretty good. I won it. Yeah, played pretty good. I won that tournament, John, by the way, and there were Tour Edge product in my bag.
Ooh.
Yeah. I love it.
So you got another win.
You need to add that to your list of wins, John.
I got to update the scoreboard.
You got to put that in there. That'll impress the heck out of everybody.
Well, you know, Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort was playing his Tour Edge HLs, and he had the round, honest to goodness, had the round of his life that day playing in the wind. So, we were playing Tour Edge product. It's a great product, and we've been trying to get John on the show, and he's been a busy man. I mean, he's hit a lot of tournaments, and his staff's hit a lot of tournaments. But, it's a great product, great stuff.
How long has Tour Edge been around, John? I'm curious.
Yeah, 33 years here out of out of the Chicagoland area is where we're located. We're a U.S.-owned and operated company, and we make 95% of our clubs here in Chicagoland. So,
like whereabouts?
Not many companies can say that. We're actually about 45 minutes due west of the city in Batavia, Illinois.
Batavia, yeah. I'm from up north suburbs.
Hey, so wait a minute. Let's get off the subject for just a second. What's the restaurant there that Sweeney took me to? And Tim, you may know this. John, you may know it. It starts with a P. Very Piero's or
Portillo's.
Yeah.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. If you go to Chicago to go to Tour Edge and tour and get fitted, go to Portillo's. Awesome stuff, buddy.
That's pretty much a weekly thing for us here. we go get the Italian beef combo with the sausage and get the peppers, the hot peppers on there, and you're good to go.
It's all healthy food, Frank. All good for you.
It was good. I had a chocolate milkshake with a piece of chocolate cake pizza for dessert, too. It was for first timers, by the way, guys, at that place, they give you a free dessert for a person that goes there for the first time.
Yeah, they've got. I noticed last time I was in Tampa, they had a Portillo's that had made its way down there to feed all the Chicagoans that have moved to Tampa area. So.
To the Tampa and Ybor City area, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, John, what's next on the agenda for Tour Edge? What are you guys going to be?
Yeah, we're going to continue to grow out on the tour. On the Champions Tour, we've got some big launches coming up later in the year where we'll be updating some of our product we're gonna try to be as many places as we can be. We're obviously gonna be at every Champions Tour event. We have our tour rep out there, and we love to make it out there and work with the players and do fittings. And you know, we went out last week. Our president and our VP went, and we got Duffy Waldorf on the track, man, and we did about an hour long session with him, and we were able to prove to him that we were gaining 7 yards over his previous driver, and so we got driver into play this week, and so that's what it takes. You got to go out there and really prove to these guys that hey, we've got better performance. We're going to build you 3 different clubs and spend 2 hours with you on the range. So it's not as easy as people think getting a club into play on tour, but once it happens, you know, it's a really good thing for the company.
Very nice. Well, that is awesome, and I'm like licking my chops here. Looking at the website, which, by the way, I go to touredge.com, and you can see all the different clubs that we've been talking about, John's talking about, too, with the Ironwoods. I've been intrigued about getting one in my bag to be able to hit, because I play in Texas.
You can't,
I'm from
you can't
Illinois.
Have any, Tim. You can't
I'm
have
from
any.
Texas, and I need something like that. So John's convinced me I got to get an Ironwood. I got to get something in my bag against this wind. So,
well, Tim, you can buy one locally, I'm sure. Just go get you one locally.
I plan to. That's what I'm saying. I can't wait.
Well, I think I know a source for you guys. So, don't
worry. Yeah. Tom Henderson. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Hey, John, please say hello to your staff from us. I mean, you guys really do have a great staff, and love seeing you out on tour. Wish you were going to be here at the Players Championship with us this week, but understand you're pretty busy.
Yeah, I used to make it out there as an old Orlando guy. I used to make it out there every year, and I love the course. But have fun for me, and thanks a lot for having me on.
Hey, sure, buddy, John. We appreciate it so much, John. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you soon out on tour.
All right, see you, boys.
Thanks, pal.
All right. John Claffey, Vice President of Sales, Tour Edge. Again, touredge.com, easy enough to remember. We've got some very, very pretty clubs there. No, I'm being honest, though, Frank.
I am, too. They're great stuff.
I have never hit, I don't even, much less owned or played, a driving wood. If you would, Darby Metal, and
it's called iron. They call it Ironwood, Tim, and that they've patented. Ironwood, I meant to say that with John on the line with us. That's their term, Ironwood. And I got to tell you, it's they're beautiful. You're looking at the pictures of them. Every time I pull my driving iron, my Ironwood out of the bag, people go, "What is that? That's cool looking."
I actually had never, and this shows some ignorance, I guess, on my part, but I'll own up to it. I'd never really asked anybody that before about what the point of it was. I see all the pros oftentimes, Tiger and those guys, of course, but they play such a different game. When you see them hit a ball, you're like, okay, it goes 20 feet off the ground and goes out 275. I don't think I have that, no matter what you put in my hands.
Yeah.
But I was always wondering, why are they pulling that out instead of a 3-wood or a 5-wood or some other non-driver off of tee box? And now I know. And into the wind and whatever. Makes a lot of sense. So, yeah,
they're a great product. John's a good dude. I've known him a long time. It's been a lot of fun, and great product. Good. So, back to the Players Championship.
Yes,
Elk, Diane, the whole Secret Golf team are out on the course walking. Elk's son Sam's here with him this week. I just had the opportunity to meet him for the first time, and so I've been invited to come back to Houston as soon as I can, because Elk wants me to go out and put me on the range with Jackie Burke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. That's going to be sweet. Mr. Burke's going to throw up in his mask when he sees me swing. But what a legend Jack Burke is. And, just at a Champions Golf Club in Houston, Texas. So
Houston,
maybe you could come down and meet me when I go out
maybe.
There.
Yeah, maybe.
That'd be cool. We play Champions with Elk. And
Mr. Three Burke or 4 hours away. That
yeah,
bad.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I've only played Champions once. And
it's a tough course.
Yeah, it is very tough. But Houston has a lot of really good golf courses. So, yeah, it'd be.
Well, guess what else awesome. Is here in Ponte Vedra, though? Or in Jacksonville Beach or Jacksonville, Duval County, let's say.
Okay.
There's some club court properties here.
Is that right?
We're going to run out to Queens Harbor. That's one of their courses here, our sponsor, Club Corp, whom we love. Going to run out to Queens Harbor. It's a beautiful country club, beautiful golf course, and just say hi to everybody. And hopefully we'll get somebody from one of the Club Corp properties on with us for a few minutes this week. That'll be fun.
That would be very nice. Yeah, they are all over the country.
Yes, they
are.
If
you go to clubcorp.com, and up in the right-hand corner says find a club, you just click on that, pick a state out, whatever area that you're going to, and you find all the different options that you have all over, and you get special privileges. If you're a member at one, you get privileges at all these other courses. So it is an awesome company, and they have amazing golf courses all over the country. So matter of fact, I was talking to a local guy here at Prestonwood. He's going to San Diego, and he's playing at one of their courses in San Diego with a few friends in a couple of weeks. So that's the advantage of Club Corp is you're kind of a member of every club. You're not just limited, Frank, like some of your friends, to that one club that they think is – you're like, no, I'm a member at 300 clubs. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty cool because, you know, in the old days, you'd have to go to your pro and say, hey, I'm going to be in Houston. Would you call Champions, pro to pro, and see if you can
help
get me
out.
On?
Help me out. See what you can do.
I just call the 1-800 Club Corp club line, and they do reservations, dinner. They do everything for me. It's great.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
nice. It's fun to travel with Club Corp in your back pocket because you can really – experience the best of the best in every city you're going to. So it's fun stuff.
All right, so now you're going to head out and join up with Elk and Knox.
I am.
And check out the course. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I've not
as
been
far
out.
As walking it or on it?
Yeah. You're looking at it just right here out of the Marriott Sawgrass, by the way.
Right.
Marriott Sawgrass, our host for the first part of the week of the Players' Championship. Looking at number 13, which is just, you know, the par 3 water down the left, and the water across that is the Marriott Sawgrass. I can see the course from here, but I will be walking it today. So
nice.
With Elk, and it's going to be interesting
feel for it.
Because he's going to be talking about how to play certain holes. And if you go to secretgolf.com, you can certainly see a lot of that. A dinner tonight with all the secret golfers. So a lot of the guys will be here that are part of their stable. Which is
like 30 or 40
yeah,
on different tours and names everybody knows. So, yeah, they've done a great job at Secret Golf.
And it was funny. It was funny Diane brought up our friend Ryan Palmer because, you know, we both like Ryan a lot. He's a first-class guy, and he's playing some good golf right now.
Has been. Yes,
yes
he has
sir.
Been. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
RP
telling,
is doing it, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe
maybe
we'll get the Spieth Family Foundation. It'll be back this year, too, so we'll see RP at that for sure.
I think Jordan is playing, did I see right? He's playing with Ricky and Brooks Koepka, I believe.
Yes.
In his pairings coming up on Thursday.
I like Ricky with him. I don't really like Koepka with him that much.
Too powerful?
I think so.
I think it makes him stretch it out a little bit more than he needs
to. Yeah, you know, even though they're much more mentally tough than we are, the PGA Tour pros, you still have that tendency, I think, or at least I would, to kind of press it just a little bit when the guy's blowing it by me 60 yards.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know, Koepka is so powerful, but
he is.
I want to see Jordan back on his game. This golf course is precision. I mean, you just and like Mickelson said, you know, I don't know if you saw the article or the interview with Phil a few days ago. He said, "Well, I'm going to come over Monday, Tuesday, play practice rounds," but he said it's not a golf course that you can just hit it on. You have to be very precise where you land, or you're just out of the hole. Period. Every time,
it's like
greens too.
It's like Hank Haney says in his book and his philosophy is the big miss. And he's always saying, okay, if there's water right, there's out of bounds, just avoid that. And that's what you'd have to do at TPC Sawgrass because if you don't play it smart, you can get big numbers. And sevens and eights can get on that scorecard and almost ruin possibly your entire tournament with just a couple of holes if you get into the wrong position and knock it in the water even a couple of times or in some of that thick stuff. So, yeah, you've got to be smart when you're playing this golf course, and that's what I love about watching it. It is such an ultimate challenge for these golfers.
Not just a
stand back and bomb it kind of golf course. They really have to think their way around, which is exactly what Pete Dye designed back when he designed this course. So it's not just for hitting the ball as far as you can and go find it. It's about being smart, too.
Yeah, it really is. It's precision golf. And the problem with that is, if you like Hank says, if you avoid the big miss, if there's water right, go left. Well, at TPC Sawgrass, there's water right, there's water left, there's woods right. So it is out of the fairway, it's trouble. It's just trouble here. So this is the Players' Championship, and it's the truest test all season long of the best golfers in the world.
I think, though, Frank, how you avoid that water left, water right, if you need to don't hit play. Precise shots, is you, okay, there's option one, if you watch on TV like me. Option two is you go with the tour edge, Iron Woods, and then you hit those bullets.
There's I'm telling you.
As John
you.
Was saying, I'm off the tee, and you don't have to worry about right.
He did say they use TrackMan, and, you know, we kind of favor Flight Scope. On Golf Talk America, so we'll get him to say Flight Scope next time.
we'll bribe him.
Yeah. But I saw, Rocco, all the guys were out there at Tucson, by the way. Rocco, everybody had their either Flight Scope or their whatever device of choice, and and everybody was pulling Tour Edge clubs. They had three big setups of Tour Edge product, and everybody was hitting their sticks. Everybody out there. So
and you put a couple of down your pant leg and did the stiff walk back to your hotel.
Hell, I tried to drag the whole damn bag.
Hoping nobody saw that.
Are you kidding
me? Just said you had I had knee surgery. I'm sorry, I can't walk.
I tried to drag the bag with me. No, I'm heading back up. By the way, let me back up for a second. Had an opportunity, and we haven't played these interviews yet, but I had an opportunity after the celebrity round to interview Oscar De La Hoya, who everybody knows who Oscar is. And Greg, the actor Greg Kinnear, interviewed him.
Yeah.
And then backstage got to talk with Locash, the Country Music Duo of the Year nominee for the CMAs. They built an entire stage out on the golf course, out on the driving range, into the driving range. It was like, in a stadium. And we had like 6,000 people show up for a free concert that night. So backstage interviewed Locash, Jerry Kelly. We all got up on stage. Jerry Kelly introduced him, brought him on, and... So we'll play those interviews in one of the shows pretty soon. It was a lot of fun. It'll be a little dated, but I think people would enjoy me talking to Oscar De La Hoya when Greg Kinnear was standing right beside me, and I made a comment to De La Hoya and almost started a fight right there on the 18th green, by the way. So,
gee, who would have won that fight, Frank?
Yeah, I said, sir, show me a move, Oscar. And he went, brrr. And I went, okay, that was great, like a butterfly.
Ali used to do that. He'd stand there like in a boxing position, and he'd say, okay, you want to see my move? And you go, yeah. And he goes, and he wouldn't move in muscle, and he'd go, want to see it again?
Yeah, it was that fast.
Like,
what? Yeah.
And you're like, it's amazing.
So my two favorite tournaments, and you know how much I love Omni Tucson National Resort and the Omni Group themselves. Love the Marriott Sawgrass. These guys are great here. My two favorites, Tucson, Ponte Vedra Beach. I mean, those are
back
my favorites.
Back-to-back. Look at you.
Yeah.
Oh.
With Bay Hill right in the middle. I've never played Bay Hill well. That's a tough golf course. And they water those fairways down pretty good to slow them down. So, and then the greens were hard. So that was a tough week for the boys last week. This week, totally different. It's just, it's like going to a different country. So it's going
to
be fun.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man.
And again, on our next show, we'll have Steve Elkington. Diane Knox will probably step back in. And who knows who will walk by. And we'll be able to talk with them as well. A lot of... guys, we'll get some guys out on the range or on their way to the range. So, yeah, the who's who of golf is at the Players' Championship.
You're not here.
It doesn't have the major name tag on there, but as far as the field goes, it's as strong a field as you're going to find year-long on the PGA Tour.
Oh,
so,
no doubt.
Yeah, very exciting.
Best All right. All right, bud. Well, let's get out of here and go have some fun. I want to walk around with Steve Elkington. Yeah.
Take a couple golf balls. Drop them in that rough. Give us a reading on how far off the fairway you're going to be 6 inches deep into the Bermuda.
I'll drop it in the rough and won't be able to find it.
You'll never find it again. Thank you to John Claffey with Tour Edge, Vice President of Sales of Tour Edge, for joining us. For Frank Bassett and for Diane Knox, thank you as well, Noxie, for being with us. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.